Tips from the Top Floor, show number 64, October 21st, 2005.
Here's another edition of Tips from the Top Floor, bringing you the best tips and tricks for your digital photography.
Hi, this is Cephas from Munich, and you're listening to Tips from the Top Floor, the best photography podcast on the planet.
And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
Hello and welcome to the Friday show. The weekend, isn't it nice? The look out of the window, it's dark because I'm recording this at night. So I can't really give you a weather forecast, but let me check on my little browser thingy. I have a plug-in here that gives me the weather. That's kind of really interesting. You have what's it called? Forecast Fox. It's a Firefox plugin, and it gets its data about the local weather through weather stations located here that send their information to the United States. They have servers there that collect this information, and then this little plugin goes to the United States and gets the weather information back to me, and it shows me that outside, about 2 meters from here, it's clear, it's 8 degrees, and what else? There is no wind. I could have that information by just opening the window, but no, I'll have to look it up on my browser. Oh, the modern technology. Anyway, let's see. Oh yeah, there's a new entry in the top secret forum area, which is only available to registered forum members, and it's an Autobahn cast. Let's have a quick peek.
It was 26, but I'm not sure. Titled Moving Landscapes. That was a sounding tour I did in the Black Forest where I tried to take landscape pictures in the Black Forest, and I was rudely disturbed by cows that were, well, a bit too curious, and it ended becoming a cow cast, and I, in the end, almost got electrocuted by an electric fence. So that is where I'm going. I want to visit the cows. And
well, as you see, it's a sound-seeing tour that I recorded while driving on the German Autobahn on my way to visit the cows from episode 40. And as it's not really photography related, I decided to post it on the forum for download instead of putting it into the official Tips on the Top Floor feed. So if you want to find out more about driving in Germany, you'll have to go to the forum, and the top secret area is only available to registered users. But don't worry, it's absolutely free. And as this is a bit of a longer show today, let's get right into it. I have an interview guest on today's show, and here we go with Paul Wright, portrait photographer. On today's show, I have Paul Wright from Wootton Bassett in Great Britain. He is a portrait photographer. I've met him about 2 years ago on DeviantArt, and yeah, I was always very impressed by his portrait photography. Welcome, Paul.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm pretty fine. Okay, so Paul, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and how you got into photography?
Okay. Photography, to a certain extent, has always been part of my life. My brother gave me my first camera. Brother Dave's lives in the States now. Gave me a Pentax after he left uni. And I just became fascinated with photography. Dare I say, then you have a lull period where you take no photographs for a while. I was trained as an artist, so effectively painting became more a bigger part of my life. But then about 9-10 months ago, I met a young lady who gave me the confidence to take up the photography again, and it's gone crazy, to be honest. It's going really well, and with the support of people like yourself, it gives you the confidence to move forward.
It sometimes takes someone external to give you that kick in the butt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly one way of putting it. I'd been taking photographs probably again for about 2-3 years, but only seen it as it certainly wasn't a hobby, because I was dealing with social issues and various other things. But this particular person made me realise I could move that much further forward with it.
Well, I think we should all thank that person, because that means the world is going to see more of your photography.
I certainly do, anyway.
So, what did you start with? What cameras did you use? So just a bit about equipment. I think that might be of interest.
Regards the digital.
Yes, regarding the digital.
Yeah. It was strange. I bought a Fuji 6200 probably about 4 years ago now. I have a young daughter. She's 10 now. So I just wanted to record her growing up, really. And then slowly but surely, my life prior to that was as a fine artist. So it was all about composition and various things. So digital was so immediate that I just enjoyed taking a photograph, getting home and working on it. And then obviously Canon started producing affordable SLRs. So my next purchase was the 10D, Canon 10D, and various people started knowing me as the man with the camera. No matter where I went, you know, I had the camera slung over my shoulder. So all of a sudden it just started to take off, and it moved from just taking family portraits to getting involved with social issues, i.e. the homeless, dare I say, addicts in my local area, Swindon. I did a piece on the drug scene in Swindon and various things. Then got involved with DeviantArt, started putting my work on the site there, got a real good response from, dare I say, people like yourself, Chris, and it made me realise that I could go further with this.
Well, you sure can. I mean, I was blown away right from the first time I saw your pictures. You remember, I instantly watched you on DeviantArt. I instantly clicked on that little button to add you to my buddy list, which basically means then I got really notified about every picture you took. And
I appreciate that it was
really interesting stuff. I remember, just a lot of regular family type portraits, all with a very specific style to them. And then the work you did with the homeless and the drug scene things, that was amazing. One of the things, there's actually a lot to those pictures. I think let's go through them one by one. Let's start with a bit more of the technical aspects first.
Yeah, sure.
One of the things that I really like in your pictures is the lighting. How do you do that? What do you use in terms of tools?
I mean, obviously, the situation that I'm in at the time tends to dictate the sort of light you use. I prefer, if possible, to use natural light, available light. And it's very important on a technical aspect. It's very important to have a good lens that will work in low light. So you're looking at a 2.8 rather than a lot of the sort of basic lenses you can buy now, sort of 4.5 through 5.6. So I think if anyone's going to certainly do the sort of social photography, i.e. street photography, you need a lens that will cope with low light. With myself, it's just about basically having an idea in my head initially. So you go out with an idea rather than just go trawling the street and hoping to come across something. So within my job as a project manager, I had to deal with the homeless on quite a regular basis. So it was just a matter of getting to know these people, treating them with a certain amount of respect. And obviously, through doing that, you gain their respect. And then just basically being around them a lot and not just necessarily hoping to get a shot on that particular day, but living their life as they would live it, to a certain extent, obviously. and to follow them around, taking photographs, and you know, basically coming back hopefully with something that people want to see.
So there's a big social component to that whole thing about working with models.
Oh yeah, I mean, when I say I mean, obviously working in the studio or anything else, it's about gaining people's trust. I've never been short of confidence, dare I say. So it's a matter of just getting in front of someone, saying, look, you know, I'm a photographer, I want to take some photographs, I find you particularly interesting, and try and pretend I'm not here, just let me crack on. I mean, I can take anything up to 50, 60 shots to get two or three. So it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it, really.
Yeah, that's what I call the keeper ratio, which I think many people underestimate that, and especially in a digital world with virtually no cost to the picture, it's really easy to take lots of pictures and then just choose the best ones out of those and present those.
Very, very much so. But I feel the most important thing, whether you take shots of film or digital, is that you keep that eye. Digital can actually stop you doing that to a certain extent.
That's right too.
Yeah, very much so. Digital, it's the only drawback with digital. It's very easy to stop looking through the lens. I like to compose. Obviously, with a 10D, you've only got 6 million pixels to work with. So it's not a matter, I don't feel anyway, that it's just a matter of taking a shot and hoping for the best. You've got to watch. You've got to look. You've got to look more than you take. Because at the end of the day, there's no real option for cropping if you want to produce a decent shot print-wise. So it's important that you look, compose, then take your shot.
I've also seen a couple of portraits that I was always curious about how you got to do these, and they were pictures of old people in pubs.
Right, yeah.
Tell me a bit about more. What's the story behind that? And how did you go about, well, first of all, taking those pictures, getting to know them, doing the lighting for these shots and so on? Because that's an area where it's probably quite difficult to work with available light.
Absolutely. I think, again, it's it was quite a lead up to it, because in the pub you're talking about in particular is a place called the Five Bells in Wootton Bassett, and I believe probably the shot you're talking about is of Billy. The thing is to get to know these people, and they know that I've always got a camera on me, so they're not concerned about me being there, they're not concerned about the camera. I'm not intrusive, so I don't basically sit right in front of them. So I tend to use the camera on its longest focal length, so there's a certain distance between me and the subject. Then I use an off-camera flash, so I'm bouncing the light off any pale surface, basically, the roof, a wall, whatever that happens to be. So rather than the flash being straight on, which gives a real and flattering light, I'm bouncing the flash, and I'm being quite decisive about where that flash bounces from. And then just basically wandering around, mingling with people and taking shots, chatting with them. And to be honest, Chris, it's great fun. Everybody should give it a go.
I think so. So when you say off-camera flash, do you have a stand for the flash somewhere, or is it on a bracket? Or
well, the thing is, you don't necessarily need to have it too far off camera. I tend to have it on a lead, so effectively I'm holding the camera in one hand. The lead runs from the camera socket, flash socket, and I'll bounce that distance off any available surface.
So you'll hold the flash in the other hand at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
you can tend to get away with that, because obviously you're using flash, so it will stop any motion. So dare I say, you wouldn't be doing the same if you were holding a reflector in low light and and a camera in one hand, she'd get horrible camera shakes. So flash, it's not too important as to whether you're holding the camera with just one hand only.
Oh, and the results I've seen definitely justify the means you get to those pictures.
Cross, it's just, yeah.
absolutely, the results are absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
So, yeah, gaining the trust of the models, being around them, being not intrusive, that's a few of the things I'm getting out of this conversation.
I think it's important to, when approaching a model, to make your... what you want to get out of the situation very clear from the off. As you can imagine, if again, it's all about what sort of photograph you're looking to do. So if I'm approaching someone because I find them interesting to look at, let's say an old gentleman at a pub, I will always ask that person if it's okay for me to take a photograph, but I will also ask them to bring someone along on the day that they trust, who can act as a chaperone as such. So, and I always hand them a business card so they know it's for real, rather than, you know, dare I say, someone slightly dodgy wandering around with a camera.
So, they're, of course, in different countries, there's different legal requirements. Do you have them sign a model release
model
of some
release.
Sort?
Absolutely, yeah. That's paramount. It's absolutely paramount.
So you hand them that pre-produced sheet of paper, and they basically sign in order to allow you to use those pictures in your work.
Yeah, they'll basically sign a model release on the day at the studio.
Yeah, and do you do that the same thing if you go to a pub? And I mean, especially the shots you did in that one.
No, not at all. Basically, a verbal agreement on okay. In a situation like that's more than enough. It's a public place, so no matter what you hear in and there's plenty of websites out there that'll actually state this. If you're in a public place, you're quite within your rights to take photographs, as long as the person having their photograph taken is in agreement with the fact that you're okay to take that photograph.
Oh, okay. And do you know that's true for Great Britain only, or I know the show has a lot of listeners from the US.
To be honest, the majority of what I've read out there is US based.
Okay.
So I would suggest it's the same there as well. I mean, as you can imagine, your David Beckhams of this world have the photograph taken constantly, so. I don't necessarily agree with personal intrusion, whether you be a celebrity or not. I mean, obviously you're there to be, dare I say, the paparazzi almost help their cause, you know. But to a certain extent, you've only got to look at that situation and realise that, you know, it wouldn't be possible if you physically needed someone to sign something every time you took
right.
a photograph. So... In a public place, you're fine. I mean, you've got to act with a certain amount of discretion and a certain amount of honesty, I suppose. So I'm very honest with the people I take photographs of. They know I'm taking a photograph. They know what it's going to be used for. So I do always before publishing a thing on the net, ask the question first: is it okay? If they say yes, then off we go. If they say no, it doesn't happen.
So you don't do any candid work of people?
I will do a lot of candid work, but I make a point afterwards of asking people,
oh, okay.
Or explain to people what I'm taking photographs of. Invariably, Chris, people approach you anyway and say, what is it for? What are you doing? It's amazing. I mean, I'm sure you found the same thing. If you're out and about with a camera, people approach you.
Oh, yeah. So you use the Canon 10D.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the show is being listened to by a lot of digital SLR users, probably more point and shoot users, but still almost half of them having a digital SLR. So the 10D has 6 megapixels. Do you find that enough? We often see that discussion about megapixels, and yeah, I do have my opinion about that. But what's yours?
I don't feel it is enough, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
It depends. For the internet, it's fine. And certainly for anything up to in all fairness, I've had shots blown up to A2 size, and they've been fine, but I've always been used to using film. I also own a Mamiya 645 Super, and the quality from a medium format camera certainly supersedes anything that I've ever produced with the 10D. But in saying that, what the customer's after now is speed, convenience, which is, dare I say, the way the world tends to be going now. So it depends, purely depends on the customer. I would prefer still to use film, but that's only because I can't afford a 1DS.
Oh, well, full frame, that would be nice, yeah.
Oh, wouldn't it just be? Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your favorite walk-around lens? What is the one that you most use?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. It's the 35 to 120. Obviously, you can add your times by for digital, but that's the lens I feel allows me to do not only the candid work but reasonably close up. It's a good portraiture lens. Fixed lenses are the best lenses to use if you can. So for portraiture, I'd use a 120 lens the majority of the time, a fixed Canon 120 lens.
Oh, but, so you are actually really quite a bit away from the subject when you take the actual portrait.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that help with not intimidating the subject too much?
That's absolutely what it's about. I'm 6'4" as well, so I can be quite intimidating. especially for children. Obviously, I take a lot of photographs of my daughter. So it's very important that you're not intrusive in that moment. For someone to relax, I feel you've got to be a certain distance away, maybe 10 feet. Obviously that's not always possible, but it's preferable.
Okay, yeah, well, I can see that, and I've actually seen professional, I think fashion photographers very often use long zoom lenses or long telerange lenses at about 100 to 200 millimeters or even more.
Oh, very much so. They'll actually be using fixed lenses rather than zoom lenses. So they'll often have two or three bodies with different lenses fixed to those bodies, and they will just swap between the lenses, between the bodies, sorry. So it's all about a fixed lens, let's say 100mm, 200mm, a 50mm, give a far better result at the end of the day than a zoom lens, because what you find with zoom lenses is they certainly with my experience, any personal experience, is that there's often zoom lenses have a soft area.
Yes,
so they might be great at the end of the focal length or prior to zooming, but in the middle there's a soft area which obviously isn't good for the end result.
That's what I found with at least some zoom lenses. They really tend to have their sweet spots in terms of focal length, and you have specific focal lengths where they're really good, and then at others they're not that good, and then you add some softness that comes from shooting wide open with a wide open aperture.
Yep.
And you might actually end up with a much better result with a
absolutely
prime lens. Yeah.
Now you use, if I remember rightly, I'm digging into my archives and my brain here. use a pretty good Canon lens, don't you?
Well, for portrait stuff, I usually use a 50mm, relatively cheap lens. It's at least from the build quality, it's very cheap, but the glass in the lens is wonderful. It goes down to 1.8. It's not really,
oh, wow,
it's not really sharp at 1.8, but as starting at 2.2, it's one of the best fixed lenses I've ever used on that camera.
But it's giving you a great option at low light.
Absolutely. I've used that so many times for things like concert photography or party photography. You don't want to use a flash in many situations. For me, in many occasions, if I can't bounce it or anything, it'll just kill the mood.
Well, I mean, for example's sake, I was taking photographs quite recently of a local dramatic group who needed shots basically on the night when they were actually playing in front of an audience, and there was no option for using flash, so it was a matter of having to use what you had. And as you say, if you've got a decent lens that allows a lot of light in, it's the option between taking a photograph and not taking a photograph.
Exactly. to conclude this, do you have any tips and tricks for amateur photographers that might want to get into making photography their job, or any photography related tips and tricks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first thing is to enjoy it. The second thing is to practice. Practice a lot. Don't use automatic settings. Something I can't stress enough is use the manual settings. Get used to your camera. If you're confident with the equipment you have, and confidence comes through using it on a regular basis, then you can't go wrong, really.
Cool. So, Paul Wright, portrait photographer from Wooton Bassett, and your website is at paulwrightphotography.co.uk?
That's the one, yeah.
That's paulwright photography.co.uk. Thanks for being on the show.
No worries. I've enjoyed it, Chris. Thanks for your time.
I really suggest to every listener, go to Paul's website. He is a tremendously good portrait photographer. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate your time tonight.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
And that was it for Tips from the Top Floor, show number 64. If you happen to live in the path of Hurricane Wilma, I know that the thoughts of all the listeners are with you. Hey, make sure you're in a safe place when this thing gets closer. Take care of yourself. If you want more information or meet a slightly crazy but certainly wonderful bunch of people on the forum, make sure you stop by at tipsonthetopfloor.com, which is, by the way, also the place where you can submit your entry to this week's assignment. The topic is Halloween, no pumpkins allowed, and the assignment is still open for 2 more days until Sunday, October the 23rd. And I'm your host, Chris Marquardt. Thanks so much for listening in. Talk to you again on Monday, and happy shooting!